Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio, featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. On today's program, we'll discuss the latest in tech news, including some Android security concerns, what we learned from South by Southwest, and an interesting tidbit from Google's parent company, Alphabet, and their surprising sell-off of Boston Dynamics, a robot developer. Plus, your calls, texts, emails, and Facebook posts. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions via email midday@sdpb.org. or send a tweet to @SDPB. Join the discussion on Facebook at facebook.com/techradio or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guests today, Joel Brovelite and Amos Aesop. That email address again is midday@SDPB.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news from SDPB Radio. And welcome back to Tech Radio, featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer questions you may have. Studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls today, Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite is here. Hey, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the show. And Amos Aesop is here. And Amos, you're now a security consultant, is that right?
Or a senior architect. Senior solutions architect and a security officer. But,
security officer.
Yes, is my actual title. Thank you.
How's that going?
It's going good. I've been at it in this particular position about 2.5 months. It's something I've been doing, you know, most of my life, but the title reflects it this time, and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
So if you have security questions for Amos, we're gonna field those today. I know we're gonna talk about Android security and some other things today. So you can call, text, tweet,
Facebook?
Or email your questions.
Facebook.
Facebook.com/techradio. I put a video on there. If you haven't seen the Boston Dynamics video that they put out with the robots, we're going to talk about that on the show today too. It's some people call those call that kind of video terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's terrifying to me or not. A little bit disturbing.
You know what? A lot of times qualifies as terrifying is things that people don't understand, right? I mean, when you see those Boston Dynamics robots and someone goes over and it takes the shape of a dog or a horse or what have you. But if you walk over and you kick it and it functions just like an animal, where it doesn't fall down, it keeps its balance and it seems or gives the impression that it's alive. But at the same time has all the strength and mechanics of a machine, which is really taking us into some crazy stuff.
Yeah, what struck me was the length that they went to make the torso look like a torso. And then here's this thing, it strolls out of the lab and goes out the front door and down into the woods and it stomps through the snow, and it's like that thing stomps just like I would, you know. It comes across an uneven area. It kind of falls over a little bit, but then it corrects itself. It kind of reminded me of me walking through the snowy woods.
And I see the video you posted is the one that's more human-shaped, which takes things just to the next level of a little bit scary because, you know, eventually we'll cover that in some sort of faux skin
of some kind.
And you won't be able to tell what's what.
So
I think we're a little ways from that.
The reason that I posted that video there wasn't to terrify people, but it was to talk a little bit about the story that's in the news that's kind of surprising to me. But Google's parent company, Alphabet, decided they're going to sell that company off. And the reason that they give is that there's I'll pull the article up here again, but they basically say that, which I find to be a dubious kind of an excuse, but they say that they don't really expect this company to really kind of go anywhere in the next, how many ever years. They just don't see that vertical taken off, or they don't expect them to be profitable. Here it is. It's unlikely they're going to generate substantial revenue in the next few years, and that they're hard to work with, and then Google's got some, or Alphabet has some internal forums that employees use, and there's been some emails posted on there, and that some of that got leaked out, and some of the people that work there are just kind of going, this company is kind of terrifying. You know, one of the reasons they're getting rid of them is because they're being called in the press, in the tech press, that these things are terrifying. And I just thought that was interesting. I don't know if I consider it terrifying or not, but being able to put a bunch of these into a, if you were an Amazon or an automaker or somebody and you needed warehouse, I don't know, you want to use the word staff, sure. You know, that could, you know, in, except for charge time, pretty much be on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including holidays.
Amazon already has, in every one of their warehouses, robots that
move stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They already have it. They already have that. We're not talking about Amazon. We're talking about Google. I agree that it's dubious in that, you know, right away when they say isn't going to be profitable in the next couple of years, when have they ever, when has Alphabet ever?
When has that ever stopped before?
So clearly, you know, my guess is they're like, well, we can get a good amount of money for it now, and we've already gotten all the technology out of it we want. So here, you can have the rest of my Chinese food because we're good. I think that's what's going on there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I posted the video, and people can go out and look at it if you haven't seen it. It's, I guess what it, I hadn't really been following robotics, and I hadn't, you know, I didn't know the level that it had advanced to. But, you know, you got this guy with the hockey stick, and he's, you know, poking at this thing and pushing it over, and, and he shove one from behind, and it falls, and it kind of curls up into kind of a fetal position like a normal person would, and then the limbs come out and whoop, pops back up just like a human would.
You know, and there's people much smarter than me that are working on these things, but I see these as probably a limited use case, right? I don't know that you'd use that in a warehouse type scenario, because something with wheels is probably going to be a little more efficient there. But, you know, where these might be of use is in difficult terrain, whether it's
defusing a bomb,
or exploring terrain where it's either hazardous for humans or far away, like another planet, where a wheeled vehicle simply just doesn't work.
Sure,
you know,
stairs.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some use cases for it, but I would think they'd be a little bit limited. But those use cases would be expensive use cases, so. I'm sure the technology will continue to evolve, and I'm sure sometime in our lifetime we'll see these in a deployed in a method that becomes, can I say, commonplace. You know, Facebook, Alphabet, Google. I'm sorry, you know, let's run all the companies together.
Right.
Alphabet, I'm sure has some pretty smart people who have calculated those numbers out and said, yeah, this isn't going to work for us, but. We already have all the secrets anyway of what they're doing, so maybe down the road we'll start something up on our own.
I get it. You mentioned earlier before the show robots being deployed for reasons and pizza delivery.
Oh,
right. What was that all about?
Yeah, so Domino's, of all places, is deploying robots, and these are much less high-tech robots. It's basically an autonomous vehicle, but it's on wheels. And currently, they're testing it in Australia, and like for the next 5 or 6 months or so, they're going to be doing what you guess you can consider beta testing. But basically, they're going to take your pizza, stick it into this robot on wheels, and through GPS, it's going to get to your location. When it arrives, you put in a code on your phone, which unlocks the pizza compartment, which I'm assuming is heated. And you're able to retrieve your pizza, and now they've effectively removed that delivery driver for you.
God, I love that.
Yeah, you know, it's taking that the autonomous vehicles that we've been seeing from Google and others, and taking it that next step further on, you know, where can we use these things? And this is how technology gets started, right? We use it for very basic, sometimes trivial purposes, but we learn a lot from that. And the things that we learn from that, we can then start to apply to things that are a little more...
That we never even thought of.
Right, a little more business-oriented, a little more crucial, a little more critical. Because if you start applying these technologies to things that, if something were to go wrong, that it would cause some serious problems... In this case, you know, your pizza doesn't show up, or it shows up cold, or this thing ends up in a ditch. You know, it's not a huge deal, but we're going to learn a lot from these sorts of things on what it takes for an autonomous vehicle to get somewhere based on GPS and the types of problems that they have to overcome with those. maybe a pothole, maybe curbs that are rough.
A gang of hungry thieves.
A gang of, yeah, who attack
so then, it. So then the autonomous police robot comes by
right,
and, you know,
right.
takes care of that.
Yeah. I imagine you wouldn't want to steal a robot that's completely dialed into the network and, you know, has probably at least five different types of GPS on it. I imagine stealing something like that is just a ticket directly to jail.
Right.
Well, they don't want that. They want the pizza.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that that's what they're going to do. I want this $5 pizza. I'm going to risk stealing this $2 million piece of
yeah.
equipment. I don't think so. I would like to see that happen, though. That would be a good
it
video.
Would. It would. That would.
Yeah,
be
no, you're totally right,
criminal.
Because that's how technology works. Nobody, when wireless technology for, you know, point-to-point or network, when that first started out, nobody was thinking, you know, and eventually these are going to be in our light bulbs. I mean, nobody thought that. I mean, that wasn't even, you'd have been like, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. But now, you know, in 2 years, everybody's going to have some sort of wireless technology
absolutely.
In their light bulbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always assumed, I guess my appetite was whetted for this sort of thing when Amazon had the whole drone thing going in people's minds. They're going to drop off packages.
You know, the funny part
never
about
thought
the,
about the wheeled thing.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. funny part about that is I bet that gets rolled out at two or three countries before it actually hits the United States. And as soon as it gets adopted and works well in a country like, say, Canada or Australia or South Korea, people here are just going to erupt with both jealousy and shame that we didn't have that type of technology first, and eventually government's going to go, oh, okay, we get it. It is useful. It's not scary, but that's how it's going to happen, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a, you know, that's a whole other subject for another show, the whole drone thing. I've been kind of looking at them, and there's been a couple that are coming out that are very interesting, one of which has a basically a canister that you can order with it, and you can go drop a canister of whatever off somewhere. It'll actually do that for you. You can have it fly a thing and drop a
drone.
I don't know what. Yeah, a quad. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a quad and a hex, a six.
Right.
Right now, but we'll see where that goes. But there's some interesting new anti-collision technology that's being put into these things.
It's
all software, and
that's the best part about everything that's new these days. It's all the hardware is so secondary. It's all the software,
the sensors, yeah,
that makes that everything awesome.
Yeah, yep, and it truly does. It's a remarkable thing. It's hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, you know, one thing we you know related to this, although not seemingly related, is you know, the what's going through Congress right now. The negotiations with the car companies to put automatic braking in all vehicles by 2020 and all including large trucks by 2024. I can't remember. Those dates are probably wrong, but it's really soon. And I tell you what, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see it. And all that is that automatic braking, that's just a robot driving your car, people. Don't be fooled. That's not automatic braking. That's an autonomous vehicle. That's the first step to you not driving your car.
Well, and that latest Tesla update, maybe it's not even the latest one. Maybe that was one or two revisions back.
The one that will
get your car and back it out of the garage.
Yeah,
for
we
you.
Talked about that. It was a couple months ago.
You know, it starts small.
Again,
you
all
take,
software.
You
that's
take
the best
small
part.
Steps at a time. And you find out what the limitations are. You find out what the problems are.
And you
are,
get the people you know. Used to it that they don't freak out.
But as long as we're talking about that Tesla update,
yeah,
you know, the FBI just, was it yesterday or the day before, released an advisory warning against the threats of those connected vehicles because of it just being software, right? So vehicles that are connected to the internet in any way, shape, or form have that possibility of a threat of being hacked. And it's not just Teslas. I mean, it's
sure.
a vehicle that's got, I mean, my car has a SIM card in it so that it can connect to a cellular service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that basically gives it an IP address somewhere out there in the world. And now they're also looking at the possibility, there's cars that are coming out that have Wi-Fi built into them, so that if you're within that Wi-Fi distance, you know, you might be able to get into the system. And I read that some of the car manufacturers were not really thinking quite ahead on this, and hopefully this is changing as we move forward, but that the computer that's on your car They didn't distinguish between the network that drives the car and the network that services the passengers inside for their entertainment purposes.
So they didn't keep the workings of the car separate from the entertainment?
Right. So now it's, you know, and lessons learned, right? I mean, now next time they'll put them on separate VLANs, separate physical networks. But in those cases, it can cause a problem because you get into the entertainment network and now you've got control over all of the ECUs to shut off the car, to deploy braking, to do really anything that the car's computer functions are capable of doing. And that's a problem.
If you think that's, you know, that's not going to happen, go Google. There's a video from, was he from Wired, the writer, the tech writer? He was going down the interstate and he challenged these guys to hack his, I think it was a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the video of the two guys sitting on the couch with their laptops and they're just giggling away as they're doing this. But he's driving down the interstate and they shut his engine off.
Yeah.
And you know, and they're just having a, you know, they're yucking it up on the couch like they're playing Grand Theft Auto, but it's an actual automobile on the interstate with this guy driving it. And
And of course that was in a semi-controlled environment, right? I mean, people knew what was going on, but what happens when you don't know what's going on and you're doing 70, 80 miles an
hour? I'm going to point this out just to be the voice of reason here. That's totally true. And every car already has a computer in it.
Right.
But they're all going to be connected no matter whether you like it or not. And eventually, your car that is not connected will not be allowed on the road. Now, we could be talking 10, 20 years down the road. I doubt it'll be 20. But eventually, that's the way it's going to be, and it will be that way because it will be so much safer. And for every car that somebody can hack and control in the way that you're talking about, probably 1,000 lives will be saved. Maybe more like 20,000 lives will be saved. If you just knock out all those statistics, and they're out there if you want to look for them, it's all good and no bad, and welcome to, 2020, where everything's connected and it's just the way it is. Just like, water was not safe 150 years ago. Everything is connected now.
It's definitely not something that we can avoid. We just need to
pay attention.
Those issues
and
deal with them. It's just like my computer. I mean, there's a chance that my computer could be hacked, but am I going to stop using it?
No.
In fact,
not.
I'm going to advance those technologies as much as I can. And the number of devices in my house that are connected, and it's just something we have to
Because the benefits, benefits just completely outweigh the scariness.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're the bunker and stock food type, in which case I'm wondering why you're listening to us right now anyway.
Well, on that note, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some South by Southwest stuff we want to talk about. We've got is it an Apple developers conference? Is that a
announcement?
It's just an announcement coming up next week, and then we're going to talk a little bit about F8, which is Facebook's developers conference coming up in April, and a couple interesting things around that. But we're going to take care of that business after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio, featuring the Computer Guys on member-supported SDPB Radio. We're back. In April, of course, on the 1st and the 15th of the month, so mark your calendars there. Best way to keep track of us, though, facebook.com/techradio. You'll find videos we post there and little anecdotes and things and links back to SDPB where you can find our podcasts and everything else that's going on about SDPB. You can join the discussion today. Put your post on Facebook. You can call now 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guest today, Joel Brovelite. Amos Aesop is here as well. That email address again is midday, MIDDAY, at sdpb.org. Another security bulletin that came out, Amos, has to do with Android devices, and I know a lot of our listeners use Android, and I'm thinking about using Android, going back again with some of the phones that have been released recently. I want to give them a try.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of phones out there running Android 5.0 and 5.1, and they're finding new exploits with this thing called Stage Fright. Can you tell us a little bit about what Stage Fright is? It sounds bad.
Yeah, well, it does, and it's an interesting term for it. It's actually a it made headlines back last year sometime in 2015, where there was a number of vulnerabilities that were detected in this same library. And this is a piece of software inside your phone that, that deals a lot with multimedia. And so there's a new – well, at the time that that happened, there was an update that came out that tried to fix all of those. But now there's been additional vulnerabilities found in that, that if you were to go to a web page that had a special, or and by special I mean a malicious video file on that page, it takes advantage of this vulnerability and crashes your phone. And then once the phone comes back up, it's able to do bad things on your phone. You're able to take control of your phone. And so, you know, it is a vulnerability in Android running 5 and 5.1, which they say is about just slightly less than 25% of the phones out there. So, you know, there's a good chance that, that if you've got an Android phone, you might have that. I actually just checked mine, and mine is 5.1.1. And they say 235 million devices, which that's a lot of devices out there. And, of course, you have to hit a web page that is crafted for this particular vulnerability. So, you know, it doesn't mean just by simply having a phone that has that version you are your phone is infected or compromised in any way, but just something to be aware of, and the fact that there's probably going to be a new patch coming out. Now, if you've got a Google phone, a Nexus device, and you can get an update straight from Google, you'll probably have it fixed faster. If you have a phone that is from one of the carriers that is a little more methodical in doing their testing, in other words, they don't want to roll this out to, you know, all of their millions of customers and have it crash something, it'll take a little longer. But you know, it's out there, they're aware of it, and they're looking to patch that. So make sure you're keeping your phone up to date with any patches that it says are new and available, and go ahead and install those.
Is that I was reading an article yesterday about there was a guy that was doing a review of the new Samsung phone,
uh-huh.
the S7,
yeah.
And he was basically saying, "Oh, don't buy that. You know, it's too big, and doesn't it have a battery you can take out of it?" And he's listing out all these bad things about this. I think it's a great phone,
mm-hmm.
But he says one of the things was, "Hey, go buy the Google Nexus because you can get your updates faster."
Sure.
Is that really a selling point? I mean, maybe for the people sitting in this room, it is.
Well, you know, and those are the sorts of articles that the people in this room read too, right? I mean, we read articles from people who are really tech based, and I answer a lot of questions, you know, in my personal life about, hey, what's the next phone I should be getting? My contract is up. I'm ready to roll to a new phone. And a lot of times, the things that you and I or tech heavy people might find useful, for instance, for me on a phone. You know, expandable memory, making sure that the total amount of memory and the processors are high, might be more important than someone else who might want to say, well, I just want to make sure I can take a picture and view videos or surf the internet or text message. And so it really comes down to what are you going to do with the phone? And quite frankly, almost every phone that's available right now is adequate for almost everybody who's out there. I mean, the phones are just getting so powerful. They become niches where, you know, for me, I would like to have a removable battery because I might power through my battery in 3/4 of the day. And rather than having to go recharge it, I'd rather just slip a new one in and go on my way. For some people, that's of no consequence to them. So I do think the S7 is actually a really good phone. A lot of good specs on it. A great camera. I would say, just, and this is personal opinion,
yeah.
Because I have an Edge phone, the one that's got the curves on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gimmick. Don't spend the extra money on that.
I want to pipe in and say that I said the very thing when they released it.
And I don't doubt
you. That feature will not survive.
Well, it did, right?
No,
because
I mean,
it's rolling to the next version.
Yes, but, and maybe the version after that, but eventually it's going to just fall off.
I will not buy it again if I'm on the S6. I would not get it on the S7.
Here's the deal, and I shouldn't disparage it too much, because what it did was it taught Samsung something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it taught screen manufacturers. It was a piece of technology that will be useful somehow to someone somewhere. And Samsung got to build it into a device, and there's probably, who knows, maybe it's a level or maybe it's a tool of some sort or a piece of scientific equipment. It will be useful somewhere.
And right now you're seeing the best thing that it does, which is those two colors there, which this is great for radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
How there's that purple and there's that white.
Yeah.
What he's doing is showing us the phone, and from the side all you can see basically is these two little colors.
And so if the phone were laying on my nightstand here and I were looking over, I could see that I've got two messages from two different people, and based on the colors I could tell who they were
sure,
from.
Sure. I mean, and that sounds ridiculous, but I mean, that is pretty useful. I mean,
it's kind of.
But
yeah.
I mean, again, I just think that's just the same thing as we were talking before for the autonomous driving. Mm-hmm. It's just a piece of technology that will be very useful, and Samsung brought it to market first.
But if I don't care about those things at the moment and I go to do something else and I hold it like this and my palm touches that side,
like you would normally hold a cell phone?
Right. It will start doing things that I don't mean it to do.
And if Apple had made that phone and that was there, that would be called Gripgate or something.
Yes,
that,
exactly.
That would be a very big deal.
So I
love how they market it. It's you know, bigger pictures or whatever, and then of course, you know, it's $100 more if you buy the contract price or whatever, and you're thinking, oh, it's just $100, you know. Obviously that's got to be a better thing, and I'm thinking, nah, I don't
discount that the fact that watching video on the curved screen does enhance it. It just looks better. And I'm not sure why. It kind of gives it a little bit of a 3D effect, kind of a little bit more depth to it.
Okay.
But
pushes it right to the edge is very helpful as well.
Yeah, the edge. Well, it's like one of those infinity pools where it rolls over the edge and you can't quite tell where it ends. It doesn't come to an abrupt stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no hard line there because there's no case there.
Right.
Bezel. We call that a bezel.
Bezel.
Yeah. All right. Bezel. All right. I learned something there.
And bezel-less design is the future of screens.
Listeners know more about my phone than they wanted to.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about South by Southwest here, but we had a comment. Brian commented. He says, "Hey, guys, great show today." Thank you, Brian. Wanted to clarify a comment about the auto braking being a robot driving your car. He says, "I have a 2014 Toyota Highlander with adaptive radar braking. Mm-hmm. It uses radar to detect cars' objects in front of you. Sure, there is software behind it, but the radar tied to your brakes does sound a lot less ominous than a robot taking over your car."
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's true.
He's absolutely right. But that doesn't change the fact that that's a robot driving his car. I mean, I agree with him completely. It's not the same thing as it deciding to take you to McDonald's when you wanted to go to Burger King. I mean, it's not going to do that. But if the car controls itself using software and a processor, that is a robot. I mean, by all definition, the robot controlled the car. And it's just, it's all semantics, but it's exactly what we were saying, Amos and I, that it's just going to sneak in, and eventually, like the boiling frog in the example, it's just pretty soon you'll be totally fine with the car taking over because you're so used to it.
Well, and I think a good example of that is that it's now creeping into marketing.
Sure.
I forget the make of it, but there's one car company Subaru?
Subaru, yeah.
That is now marketing the fact that their crash tests are
more awesomer than everybody
else's. Because they don't get into the crash because the car stops itself before it hits the brick wall.
And who doesn't see that and go, well, yeah, I want that. Because one time I slammed on the brakes too hard and I spilled coffee, or I bumped my head on the windshield or something even worse. There's nobody I've ever met that didn't drive that didn't have to slam on the brakes suddenly because they were distracted somehow. I've just never met anybody that didn't happen to.
Does this make text messaging in your vehicle easier because the car will take care of the braking?
Well, and you know, here's the deal. I don't think you'll ever get anybody to comment on that because they don't want to tell you that is a thing that could happen. They don't want you to say, well, you know, you're going to be safer now when you're unsafe in your car.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reality of it. And even more drive to make more benefits like assisted braking and things like that.
Well, and hopefully you'll see cars and trucks and motorcycles and whatever evolve to the point where, you know, communicating by tapping your finger on a device goes away.
You're absolutely right, because here's the deal. Even in cars now, I mean, when I text from my car right now, I don't type. I just say it.
Right.
While I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I have not a new car, but a car that doesn't have, you know, a fancy $8,000 computer in it. But, you know, all that capability is already there in your phone, in Bluetooth with the car. If you don't have that, you can put that in. All this stuff is there. And it's just going to get easier and more compatible with all the cars that are out there with Android. Android, the car integration, whatever that's called, and AirPlay or CarPlay from Apple. It's just all that integration is just going to get better. So, you know, the texting and voice messaging, phone calling and dialing and punching buttons exactly like you're saying,
right?
I think will come away from the screen. I don't know that it'll always be perfect and it'll always be 100% safe, but as these two things converge, they will make a better, safer experience, I think, for everybody.
Well, there's and the big thing, apparently, that's going to get announced next month at the Facebook Developers Conference at F8 in San Francisco is their Messenger Bot Store. And you're thinking, Messenger Bot Store, what the heck is that? And basically, it's infusing. I'm gonna take a shot at trying to explain this, but in my own words, it's kind of a artificial intelligence interface with Messenger or with your phone, so that you can maybe order a pizza or schedule something or reserve a room at a hotel or whatever. But basically,
intuitively lead you around. Yeah,
right. It's the rise of chat-based user interface.
It's basically text-based Siri. That's what it is.
And they're saying it's a fundamental shift in what's going to change the types of applications that get developed and the style of service development. So these little bots will just kind of take care of
this. A way to think about that is if you've ever gone to Google, I use that as a verb, not as a direct, whatever search engine you want, and you had a question, but you really don't have, like, you don't know how to word it. You type in, how do I clean the drain pipe when the water still, you just type in a random phrase. That's what I do. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure everybody
Absolutely.
Does that.
Yeah.
Well, instead of, you get a big list of hits and you got to sort through that. This kind of cuts the middleman out. This interprets your text and sorts out what you need it to, so you don't have to do that. And all things like this do that. Oh, he's talking about drain pipes and he says this and this. We'll point him over this way. We'll ask a few questions, narrow it down. You need a plumber. Oh, okay. And here's a list of plumbers. I mean, that's the kind of thing we're talking about, rather than, it's searching on the internet. It seems so, I suppose it doesn't to anybody who's really young, but it seems so, you know, such a newfangled way to do something. But really, it's kind of cumbersome in the way that AI and the tool like you're talking about with Facebook could actually bring to the party. You know, I mean, rather than searching and going through a list of, you know, 8,000 hits, you could just type it in and actually get your answer. Imagine that.
And like all tech, it's wonderful when it works.
Right.
You know, though, the problem is that...
You want to search through 8,000.
No, I don't want to search through 8,000, but the answer that comes up might not be the right answer.
Well, and here's the deal. That's great. What if it says no, when you say no, that's not it? Okay, I'll ask another question. Do you have hands? Oh, okay, yes, you have hands. Okay, well, then how about this? No, that's not it. You know, if it interacts with you, which is exactly what it will do... Mm-hmm. All it does is get you closer to it and ask the questions maybe you didn't even think to ask.
True.
So, you know, it has to have a brain behind it. It can't just be this dumb, you know, search engine on a database. It can't be like that. It has to actually learn, much like the computer that just played I think it's a Chinese game Go, that strategy game that beat him 4 out of 5, beat the best player in the world 4 out of 5 times. And it did so by learning on its own. It wasn't programmed. It actually learned the moves. It didn't. They didn't program all the moves in. It watched the games and then played a bunch of games, something like 2 million games, and it taught itself. That's the interesting part about it. Not that the computer won, but that the computer taught itself to win.
How about that for scary?
Yeah, there you go. And that, by the way, in 4 years. will be in your car. That's how fast the processors move. That's how fast that stuff moves.
Here's, you know, and then I'm taking it to the insanely illogical, you know, end of this whole thing is if, you know, I've got a behavior that my wife doesn't think I should be doing. She installs a bot on my phone that makes me do something that or gets me to behave the way that I'm supposed to be.
There are lots of things that what if you want to quit smoking? Maybe that's an application we hadn't even thought of. That's a great idea.
I was just thinking of, you know, there was
you were
a,
thinking of ba- it being bad. I'm thinking that's good.
There was an episode of Big Bang Theory where they, you know, they modify the behavior of one of the mm-hmm. cast members by, you know, doing things. I don't know if it was ringing a bell or what it was, or treating with candy or something or whatever it was. Yeah. But it was hilarious. But yeah, these invisible apps really sound interesting, and it's coming to a phone or a device near us.
Greeting card.
Apparently very soon, which is exciting for me. I think any way that you can it isn't just straight text to, you know, into a search engine kind of a thing. It's actually got some intelligence behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately what we as users want is regular users. I count myself among them. Is I want less interaction with the computer than more. I don't want to go through 8,000. I want it to ask me a few questions. Maybe I don't even have to type, and then I get the solution that I want. I want less interaction and less, you know, monkeying around with the computer and more doing stuff that I want to do.
But you just have to be less sarcastic, because
it's not possible.
They can't.
They're going to have to filter that. I mean,
did you see that?
They'll plan for that.
That's the most difficult thing is for these engines and these things to handle is sarcasm.
So. Anyway. So you'll all get there before me.
And of course, we need to take another break. And we're going to do that right now. When we come back, I swear we're going to get to South By, and we're going to talk about the Apple announcement next week. But we're going to do that after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. It's the last segment of the show. And, of course, we're running out of time, as we always do at this hour of the day. We want to talk a little bit about South By. It's obviously a huge film and music festival in Austin, Texas. We talk about it pretty much every year because it's where everybody puts, you know, all these. It's kind of like the old commercial. You know what did you know what was the firm that was giving investment advice?
Oh, E.F. Hutton.
Yeah, when E.F. Hutton talks and everybody in the restaurant stops and listens, South By is kind of the big, everybody just stops and puts their ear to, they want to know what the next Twitter, the next Facebook, the next thing is. And that really didn't happen this year. There was no big discoveries of the next company. And this has got, you know, 30,000 people wandering around Austin for this thing. And, of course, Grumpy Cat was there and the Obamas were there, and I mean, everybody's there, and it's a big music festival, but I'm not reading a whole lot that really came out here. I mean, everybody looks like a dork in VR glasses. I mean, we learned that. There's no way you can't look like an idiot wearing VR goggles.
Well, we were just talking about that, too, and I've got the VR goggles that work with my phone, and when people come over, they try it out, because it's a cool experience.
It is.
But it is almost as entertaining to sit and watch that person with the VR goggles on because of the, you know, where they're looking and how their hands are trying to explore whatever space they happen to be in. It is difficult to, it is impossible to not look like a dork wearing them. You're right.
You look kind of silly. Yeah. But how do you like it? What are you doing with it? Is it games? Is it movies? What is it?
If this doesn't tie back to the beginning of the show, I don't know what does, because it's a very basic technology, right? It's something that's trivial. That's something that's humorous and fun to use, but not really very useful. You know, there's some cool games on it that require some controllers. There's some you can watch some 3D movies. You can watch some not necessarily 3D, but 360 degree field of view movies. So that when you see going on in front of you, there might be sounds coming from behind you, and you have to spin around to see what's going on back there. It's a neat technology, and the fact that it will fit within a cell phone is really amazing, and it's a testament to where cell phones have gone. But again, it's something that we're starting small on. We're starting with entertainment purposes, and that if it breaks, no big deal. And soon it'll move into the field of medicine. It'll move into the field of science. It will become something that maybe maybe at some point these autonomous cars are driving, but you get the experience still sitting at home because the cameras are in the car. You're at home. You can look around and see where that vehicle or drone or whatever device it is that's moving. And that's how it goes and picks up your stuff.
Oh yeah, you
from
hit the
Amazon.
Nail on the head there. That's where that's at. Is you know, we were talking about the robots that might go to a place that isn't safe to do something
exactly.
like that. A VR goggle is perfect. Exactly what you want.
Yep.
That type of thing for you'll get live shots from you know 16 different cameras that are all software controlled,
and that
you'll be able
be...
to turn around and command the robot to do this and this. In that case, it's not a robot so much as it's a autonomous or semi-autonomous vehicle.
Well, that's really cool and everything, but that's not a consumer thing. So what's the consumer
killer? None of
these
things are. That's a,
no,
but see, here's the deal. There is no killer consumer app for VR. We're talking about virtual reality.
Yet?
There is nothing yet, nor will there be, because all of these things are just figuring out where the limitations are, where the customers that want to use it are, what vertical markets want to use this type of technology. It's too early to really say, okay, well, this is how it is. And really, we've been talking about virtual reality for 20 years, longer than that maybe, and it's always just on the forefront. I think now that it's in the area where you can buy a $5 device, hook it up to any modern cell phone, and experience this stuff is showing you that things are getting cheap enough to where you might actually see it in other markets.
One of the things I have seen using my version, which is, again, the very basic version, is that there's an augmented reality portion where it uses the camera and what you're looking at through the camera into the phone, and then is able to put information about what you're looking at and overlay that on what you're seeing, right?
Okay.
So you're looking at something, and it's able to detect what that is, and it just like... Terminator was able to look at a human and tell what their heart rate was and be able to tell what kind of life form they were and that sort of stuff. This will do that as well. The problem is that the technology is not yet far enough along that it can do it in real time. So it takes, there's a delay.
That's a whole other thing.
So yeah. If I attempted to move around my house doing it, I would end up falling down the stairs because the real time portion just isn't there. So that actually could be a
perfect example of that. You go to a museum where you take those audio tours.
Yes. Yep.
It would be much better to throw on a pair of, you know, what would appear as sunglasses, not these wacky super things,
goggles,
but
right.
Just some normal make Google Glass type of thing where it's not too obtrusive. Yep. You're actually walking through and you get probably the best tour of your life. And that's not far off. We're not even talking 5 years for something like that. So that'll be out there. That's the first application I can see where it'd actually be useful and rather than just fun.
Is that why?
What do I know?
The new iPhone is going to have like two lenses on it. One's like a telephoto and one's a wide, so that it can figure distances.
That's a rumor. We don't know about
that's
that
a rumor.
Yet. It probably doesn't hurt. Probably doesn't hurt.
But that would help with this whole VR thing, right? Have the a couple of different views, and you can measure distance with it.
Well, really, the big problem is just processor power. That's really the big problem. I mean, and processors and phones are ridiculously fast. They're ridiculously fast. Mm-hmm. They just have to be that much faster for this to actually work.
Also, I can tell you that when you use that feature today, the battery life is abysmal. I mean, you don't get to use it for very long. It chews up battery pretty quickly. So there'll need to be some technologies that move forward before
sure.
that becomes.
It's like a 3,000 milliamp battery, isn't it?
Yeah,
in the S7.
Yeah,
that's a lot of power. But if you're gonna have a quad processor and a bunch of RAM, it's probably gonna eat that up.
It does.
Do you have a battery case for that? That's an extra like a case battery thing, or do you just take little rechargeable batteries with you when you go? Or
no, this one I can't replace the battery on this one. This is a non-replaceable.
But I mean, do you take the little
the
little battery?
Yes, I've got a 20,000 milliamp brick that I bring with me everywhere.
Right, yep. to charge your phone when you need to. Anything else coming up from what's going to come up from Apple next week?
Well,
you think rumor has it
that they're going to release a smaller phone. There are several people, myself included, who really liked the size of the iPhone 5S. But, wanted all the capabilities of the newer phones. So they're going to release that. It's probably not going to be, you know, the bleeding edge of the technology available. It'll probably be on the lower end. And that's another thing Apple wants to do is get into the, you know, cheaper phone market.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not get into it so much as push down into it and eat into some of their profits. So expect a smaller phone, iPad updates. The rumor has that they're going to do a iPad Pro that's not quite as big as the one that they just released, and probably will just replace the standard size iPad that's out. So look for it, look to that. I imagine straight off they're going to talk about, and this is what you'll see on Monday, when Tim Cook talks to the audience about the FBI Apple tussle that's going on right now. I'm sure he'll lead off with that and kind of restate their position. I doubt there'll be anything new, but that's if you hear news about it on Monday, it's a good bet that's what they'll talk about.
There's been some interesting reading. I mean, it kind of goes over the same points, but then again, there's been a little bit more analysis about that, and there's even more analysis about how this was just kind of a, basically kind of a showboat thing by the government. But in the background, they've been kind of doing this all along.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the former directors of the FBI, I think it was the FBI, stated on the record. He said the NSA can get into that right now. There's no question that they don't need Apple to do this. They're doing exactly what they're saying they're not trying to do and set a precedent.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's lots of back and forth on all of that. So, you know, it's just that's going to drag on and probably get boring after a while, and everybody will forget about it.
Apple's not the first company to stand up to the government either. Yes. Lavabit, if you remember.
Well, and you know, the big tussle about it right now is that Apple at some points in the past has not stood up to the government and has said, okay, yeah, we'll do what you want, and just decided on this one for whatever reason. I'm sure they have their reasons that they said, okay, this is where the line is and we're not going to do it this time. And they're getting a lot of flack for that, but you know, I mean, it's their business. I suppose they've got to do what they want. So anyway, but expect to hear that on Monday. So new phone, new iPad, probably some software stuff, hopefully something we don't know about.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to paraphrase it and say they're kind of right-sizing their some of their products back to, you know, not giant versions of things, giant phones, giant
iPads. I mean, the iPad Pro that they'll release will just be a replacement for the iPad Air 2. I think that name is kind of over with. iPad Air, they don't want to have an iPad Air 3. That's just very confusing. So an iPad Pro, they want to make sure that, you know, when you put Pro in front of something, it seems like that's the best one. So they want people to buy the best one. So, you know, probably more of a rebrand than anything. And then the phone, you know, I think they just they need to keep that one moving, but, you know, keep that size moving, because they still sell the 5S. You can still buy it brand new. They need to update it. And bring it to the people who want the capability, like, you know, fingerprint recognition, things like that, but maybe want it in a smaller screen. There's a lot of people that don't want a big, giant phone. I have a big, giant phone, but I'm one of those people. Sorry, into the break.
How often do you use the feature where you hold your finger down on something and brings up a submenu?
Every
because
day.
That seems cool.
Every day.
If I had that on this phone, I'd probably stick with this phone. I wouldn't have to migrate.
Every day.
All right. Well, yeah, it's unfortunately all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank our panelists, Joel and Amos. Thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to come over to the studio. It was a great discussion. I appreciate it. Remind you that SDPB is always there for you with our app or at sdpb.org is where you go. Just click on the listen button up there. Click on watch right now. You're probably going to get a whole lot of basketball, which is what SDPB is all about for today and tomorrow. But join us again in April. We're back on the air April 1st. I'm not fooling. And April 15th. Won't be a taxing show either. Join us for either one of those. And have a great weekend, everybody.